The Proverbs once again. Anybody keeping track of how long we've been studying Proverbs? Good. I don't want to know. If you're keeping track, keep it to yourself. We're in Proverbs 3, Proverbs chapter 3, and last week we finished up with verse 18, I believe, and it seems to me that we had pretty well finished up with that 18th verse. But I want to just make this one observation about verse 18 to make sure that I did make it last week and not miss it. Do you notice here that this whole passage we're talking about has its beginning in verse 13, where it says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding," and then it goes on to give us a list of benefits for such a person. And in verse 18, it says, "She," that is wisdom, talking primarily here about wisdom, "she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her." Did we talk about the tree of life and where the tree of life was and what the benefit of the tree of life was? That the tree of life gave eternal life, permanent life, life without end. And the wisdom of God, the Word of God, provides the same thing. 1 Peter chapter 1 tells us that it is by the Word, the incorruptible Word of God, that we are born again. And that's where we obtain our eternal life. And so this is the idea that Solomon is getting across here. She, that is the Word of God, is a tree of life. It is the source of everlasting life to us. All right, the 19th verse then is where we begin today. "The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, and by understanding hath he established the heavens." Now this verse gives us a real clue as to what wisdom really is. For he says, "By wisdom the Lord founded the earth." Now, if we turn to the book of Hebrews and look at the 11th chapter, we will see a very similar phrase. Hebrews chapter 11, turn over there with me. I want you to see this in verse 3. "Through faith we understand," in other words, we understand because we believe. "Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God." Amen. Now, if the Lord by wisdom founded the earth, and the worlds were framed by the Word of God, then what is wisdom? The Word of God is wisdom. The wisdom of God is the Word of God. Now, beyond that, Phyllis, you asked me once before, didn't you? Was the wisdom of God Jesus? And it is. For Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. And so this verse gives us a real clue now as to where wisdom is found, what wisdom is. "And did not God create the earth?" Who was the agent of creation? Jesus was the agent. Didn't he create everything? Yes, yes. Colossians 1:16. Yes. And so when we see the word wisdom here, well, the wisdom is found in the Word of God, and of course it's found in Jesus, who is the living Word of God. And so let's go back then to Proverbs. "But the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth." So anything that we see in the book here that says that it has its source or its benefit in wisdom, we know that we may tap this wisdom through the Word of God. One of the things that troubles, I think, a great many Christians is the nature of the wisdom literature is such that you have this, I believe most church people have this idea of wisdom to be this nebulous, ethereal, smoke-like kind of thing that you can never really get a hold of. And there are tremendous benefits if you ever get it, but you can't quite get it. Now, have you ever felt that way? I have. And I think a great many people probably have or do, even yet do. And it's of comfort to me to realize that we can tap into this wisdom, that it's not something that is smoky and wispy-like, and maybe we can get a little sniff of it or something. The way we obtain these benefits is by giving attention to the Word of God. All right, "by understanding hath he established the heavens." Same idea. Let's go back to Genesis 1. Let's find out where understanding is. Genesis 1. Now it says here in the verse we just read, by understanding, he established the heavens. God established the heavens by understanding. Let's see what God used to establish the heavens. Genesis 1, 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters, that is, the waters below from the waters above. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. Now, in this passage, we see the establishment of the heavens, don't we? Is that right? And what did God use to establish the heavens? And God said, let there be. And so it is the Word of God that is understanding, and there's none apart from it. It is the Word of God that is wisdom, and there's none apart from it. All right? Okay. Are you ready to move on to the next verse? All right, verse 20. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. Same idea here, and the reference primarily is to the flood, the depths breaking up and the clouds sending down the rain. Verse 21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. How can you see wisdom? How can you see understanding? And how can you see knowledge? They're not visible. How can you see them, Vera? You can look at the Word. My son, let not them, the words of God, for they are wisdom and understanding and knowledge, let not them depart from thine eyes. We're going to see this over and over and over and over again in this book. The most important physical item that any of us possess in this life is the Word of God. Amen. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Now, the word discretion, anybody remember what the word discretion translated, what another synonym for this Hebrew word was? Discretion. Does anybody remember when we discussed that in chapter 1? A plan. The word, the Hebrew word that is translated here, discretion, means a plan. And we talked last week at length about the importance of making decisions prior to the time we're confronted with a problem, that you make your decision as to how you're going to react to a certain situation on the basis of what the Word of God says, not on the basis of how you feel at the moment that the decision is before you. That's what living with a plan is like. And the more God's Word we have, and it's when you read the Word of God, if it affects you the way it does me, and I know that it does, when you read the Word of God, you see what pleases God and what displeases God, and say, oh, if that ever happens, this is what I'm going to do. And as you read the Word of God, you're making decisions as you go along, so that when you find yourself in one of those circumstances, the decision is already made, and the temptation then has no power over you. And so he's describing here living with a plan, keeping the Word of God before your eyes, and that will cause you to retain sound wisdom and sound skill and discretion, or a plan for your life. So shall they be life to thy soul and grace to thy neck. Now here's the idea of life ministered into your emotions, into your feelings, into your reasons, into your decisions, and deep down on the inside of you, life is ministered rather than death. We've looked at Romans 8 about the carnal mind being death, the spiritual mind being life and peace. And secondly, grace to your neck. Now, we saw that back in the third verse, didn't we? When he said, don't let them forsake thee, bind them about thy neck. That it's like a decoration for your neck. It's like a woman puts on a necklace, and it adorns her neck. Grace is the same way upon a person. Favor, the favor of God and the favor of man, is like a decoration on a person's neck. And so the words of God, which produce wisdom and produce understanding and produce a sound plan for living, there'll be life to the eternal part of you, and they will be favor or grace or loveliness, if you will, to your neck. It will adorn your life, in other words. Then shalt thou. Now, the next two or three verses go together, and there's a wonderful promise here. And I know a great many people in this world need to tap into the benefits of this promise. Then, underline the word then. This promise, when you see that word then, it means this is a result or a natural consequence of what has just gone before. And what has gone before? Keep the words of God before your eyes. Stay in the Word routinely. You don't read the Bible through in 1972, and then for the rest of your life you never crack it. Well, I've already read the book, and I know what's in there. No, keep it before your eyes. It's the kind of thing, there was back a number of years ago, not too many years ago, but back several years ago, they did I'm not sure I remember the exact film, but on the television they showed a film that had been very famous. I think it was the Star Wars film, if I'm not mistaken. And before the film, I tuned it in because I'd heard everybody say this film is really tremendous and the whole world has seen it and they're all, following behind the film because it's so tremendous. And I wanted to see what was so fabulous. And so I tuned it in to watch it. And before the film started, they interviewed a number of people who had seen the film many times. And they had one person, yes, I've seen the film 123 times. And then the next guy comes on, I've seen the film 481 times. And the next guy says, I've seen the film 72 times. Now, these people have not been satisfied to see it one time. They just see it over and over and over and over again. Now, that's the idea that the Scripture is trying to get across about itself. That just because you've seen it one time doesn't mean you know everything that's in it. He says, keep it before your eyes, if you will. If the Word of God becomes a part of your life, a part of your daily life, this is a promise that is yours. Verse 23. Then, as a result of same, shalt thou walk in thy way safely, Elizabeth, Jack, Dennis, Margaret. Time after time, we're sharing the praises of God's providential intervention and His protection. Judy, then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. Now, that's a real promise. Hallelujah. Thy foot shall not stumble. What a promise. That you don't go around stubbing your toes, pulling boners and making mistakes, and everything you touch turns to mud. How many people have you heard say, I've got the King Midas touch, and I got it in reverse? Now that's a person that needs this verse. Amen. 1 John said it another way, if you walk in the light, you won't stumble and fall. Because you won't have, there won't be darkness. You'll see where you're going. Jesus said in John 8:12, I'm the light of the world, and he that followeth after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The light of life is the Word of God. In John 1 and following, we hear that the Word was in the beginning, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then we find that when it describes His coming, that in Him was life, and His life was the what? The light of men. The Word of God is the light of the world. The Word of God became the light of the world in Jesus Christ when the Word of God became flesh. And that's why Jesus then said, you're the light of the world. Why? Because I'm in you and my Word is in you, and the more my Word is in you, the more light you give off, not only for yourself, but also for the world round about you. We talk more about that on Tuesday evening in our candlelight service. And so when you know the Word of God, you can anticipate a safe travel through this life. And you can anticipate that your foot will not stumble, that you won't make bad decisions, you won't marry the wrong woman, you won't take the wrong job, you won't make the wrong business decisions, you won't buy the wrong house, you won't form the wrong associations. Your foot will not stumble. And then verse 24, and so verse 23 is a lifestyle of security and safety and wise dealings. verse 24. When thou liest down, here's another promise, and gosh, can the world use this one? It would put no-dos out of business, and it put Valium out of business, and it put Librium out of business, and all the rest of those M's. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yes, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Now, there are a great many people in this world who would give anything to have the benefits of this 24th verse. Give anything to be able to get a good night's sleep, to be able to enjoy sweet sleep. The world is filled with people, I don't mean everybody, but there are a great many people in this world who have not had a night of sweet sleep since they were a child. And it's not likely to change unless verse 21 is done. Now, a great many folks, Christians included, like to take the 24th verse and say, oh, praise God, God's promised me this wonderful sleep. I'm going to lay down and have sweet sleep and everything's going to be cool. But there's a condition to that. Verse number 23 starts out with, says, then, consequentially, because I've done something, I'm going to have sweet sleep. If you stay in the Word of God, you ought to anticipate sweet sleep and safe sleep and without fear. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid, having no fear about anything. You'll lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Verse 25, be not afraid of sudden fear, terror, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. Why? Because the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. And so if you have the Word of God in you, I find out in my own life that if I go a few days and just catch a little bit of God's Word here and there, I find that my confidence in the Lord is not what it used to be. But if I will just sit down, put everything else out of the way, and pick up my Bible and start reading, you know, it's just the most amazing thing. All of a sudden, I just have confidence in God again. And by confidence in God, what do I mean? I mean, I know that whatever my situation is, I know God's bigger than it, and I know that He will take care of it. I just have a confidence in the Lord. But apart from the Word of God, that confidence erodes. It just erodes. It slips away. It's like there's a leak in us. And it slides out of us so that we know He can. But confidence in God says He will. See, not He can, but He will. And there's a world of difference between God can and God will. There's no confidence in God can. Most of the world believes He can. Even the devil believes He can. But God will, that's where the confidence is. God will heal me. God will heal my little girl. God will protect me on this trip. God will be with me when I take my car down the highway so that I know I'm not going to get my lunch along the way. God will be with me when I'm cooking over my stove in case something should happen that I'm unprepared for. God's not unprepared. He's prepared. He's my confidence. And so I won't be afraid of terror, things that happen, the desolation of the wicked when it comes. 1,000 may fall on thy right hand and 10,000 on thy left. But Psalm 91 says, excuse me, it shall not come nigh thee, me. It won't hurt me. Now that doesn't mean I don't care about the 1,000 that are falling over here and I don't care about the 10,000 that are falling over here. But frankly, I do care more about the me part. For if there's no me, then how am I going to help the 10,000 or the 1,000? Do you understand what I mean? And so if I take the Word of God and use it, make it part of me, keep it before my eyes, no matter what's happening around me, business community may be going belly up, but it won't come nigh me. Everybody's getting the flu, but it won't come nigh me. Everybody I know is hacking and coughing and so on, but it won't come nigh me. Why? Because I have a confidence in the Lord. I'm not afraid of sudden fear or the desolation that attacks the wicked. I've got something going for me. I have a confidence in God, and God will keep my foot from being taken. Taken. What does that mean? That means there is someone, something that wants to take me. There's an enemy out there that wants to do me in. I'm not ignorant of his devices, nor am I ignorant about the mighty weapons which God has given me, and he's given me his word, which is the sword that works in the spiritual realm that prevents that snake from doing me in. It prevents him from taking me, it prevents him from taking my body, it prevents him from taking my mind and my mental health, it prevents him from taking my security and my safety and my peace and my sense of well-being, it prevents him from taking my family, my wife, my children. My foot is not taken because I have a confidence in the Lord. And where is my confidence? Why is my confidence in the Lord? Because I keep his word before my eyes all the time. Now, your peace, your security, your safety, and your confidence in the Lord, we call confidence in the Lord. What's another word for that? Faith. Confidence in the Lord is faith. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Isn't it amazing that even the Old Testament guys knew that? Roger.
Back when they had the earthquake down in Mexico and then had the volcano earthquake and all down in South America, the Lord showed me a scripture here that I heard before, but it really made it real to me. Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the sea, we're still not fear, because God can take care of even the whole earth. You know, there's an earthquake and all the mountains are rolled over the sea, so don't sweat.
No sweat. We need some t-shirts that say no sweat. Dennis.
I have a sweet sleep. I guess my mother did. She was talking about when I used to live at home. I used to work night shift, and it was pretty hard to sleep around there with all the kids coming in from school and stuff like that. And she said, just read the word before you go to sleep. You have a good night's sleep.
You have a good day's sleep too, night or day. God's word is an amazingly powerful and wonderful, wonderful thing. Even after all these years, I am still amazed at the power of God's word. How when I get jittery or jumpy or just, you know, you just kind of get on edge and just get alone and pick up the word and just start reading it. And all of a sudden, here comes this just peace, awareness that God's there, that he's in charge. That nothing's too big for him. Just a sense of well-being replaces all of that uneasiness. It's the most amazing thing. Isaiah 26 and 3. And how can we keep our mind stayed on him? In his word, because he and his word are the same. The word is God. John 1 and 1. Okay? Anybody else want to comment on that before we go? Joan?
The Lord always shows me things in simple pictures that I can understand the word. And a car runs on gasoline. He showed me our bodies need the word like a car needs gasoline. And if you don't put gas in the car, it won't run. And I picture myself, okay, it's so easy to turn on the ignition when you've got gas in the car, and that big old car will just move anywhere you want it to go. But if it begins to run out of gas and it chokes and chugs, and if you get out and try to push that car without gas, then it's impossible to get it up over hills. And he just showed me that in my own life, that if I have the word, I can overcome any mountain, because the word in me will just take me right through it and deliver me and show me what I need to do. And how you showed Roger and Janet what to do when the baby was being born. You just have the word and you flow in it, even when you don't know that you are flowing in it. Like Margaret said, you make good decisions. But if you don't have that word in you and you're trying to do it on your own strength, it's just like getting out and trying to push a car without gas.
That's exactly right. So much easier to put a little gas in the car, isn't it? Huh? No sweat, right? Is that right, Roger? Yeah, just stop that sweating. Sure, yes.
I praise the Lord that every situation has an answer in the Word, and the only way you're going to know the answer is if you're in the Word to be reading and finding out what it has for that situation. Mm-hmm. So this is it.
And the Word is more than an answer book. I think a great many Christians consider the Bible an answer book And every time they have a problem, when they get an obstacle, they'll go to the concordance or they'll go to a Bible handbook or they'll say, well, now, what's my answer here when I need, I've got this particular circumstance, I've got to have an answer. But it's more than just getting an answer when you need it. It's a means of preventing yourself from ever needing the answer. Well, the answer flows automatically and naturally from you when you have the Word in you. You begin to think like God. You begin to act like God. And the means by which His life is lived out in you is lived out through the amount of the Word that you have within. Okay. Yes, John?
Just recently, whenever the Lord's blessed me in whatever area of my life, I'd look through the Word and find, well, there I am. That's what happened to me. But also when things happen that are not necessarily the Lord or maybe just you or it could be the devil, I'm still in there too. I just recently found out that no matter what I'm doing, I am fulfilling Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
I live in the fulfillment of Scripture.
Yes.
Up to me as to which part of that Scripture I want to be fulfilled.
That's right.
New revelation.
I have been fascinated, John, to watch the Word be lived out in the life of our church. That fascinated me. You know, as our church was young and growing, and the Lord would have me teaching in a passage, I didn't know that we were going to learn what it was we were experiencing. And as we would teach the Word, I'd like, whoo, that's exactly what's happening to us. That's exactly what's going on there. Just understand it so clearly. The illumination comes from the Word.
Mm-hmm. Insights on leadership.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we were living that book at that time.
Yes, yes. When we did the series on Moses, it was the same way. That was the most amazing. It's like we lived it. You know, the wilderness, the Red Sea, the, you know, Korah, the whole business. Okay, now, I want to stop right here at the 26th verse, and I want to take an inventory. I told you that when we began this chapter that we were going to look at a large number of promises which were made to us as a result of our giving attention to the Word of God. Now, I have a head start, and I've done like this, and I've put them all on a piece of paper. I want to see how many we can get today. See how many you can get out of this as I read, okay? Now, this is what I want to do. I'm going to start reading in the first verse. When I read a promise, I want you to say, stop! Someone, anyone or any ones. When I read a promise, now, not in the middle of it, but after I have read the promise, if it's a one-word promise, after I've read the word, I want to say, stop! Or if it's a two-word promise or the end of a phrase or whatever, when I get to the end of the promise, now in one verse, you might have four or five promises in there. So as I'm reading, what I want you to do is when I get to the end of a promise, I want you to say, stop, out loud so that I can hear you. And don't matter have any of you ever played Pit? How many of you have ever played Pit? Let me hear your hand. Let me see your hands. Hear your hands. Okay, that's a rather noisy game. Pit is kind of a noisy game. This is kind of a noisy game too, so I'm not going to be offended if you're noisy. I just want you to get the promises, okay? All right, let's see what we can do here. My son, forget not my law. That's not a promise. It's a reality, yes. Okay.
He promised us that we would be his son.
Yes, but that's not a result yet here, Jack. I'll tell you, he's got a hair trigger on that gun, doesn't he? Forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days. Oh, praise the Lord. Many days, that's a promise. And long life,
stop.
And peace,
stop.
Shall they add to thee. So we'll have long life, many days, and a peaceable life. I think it'd be great to have even a short life, if you could have it peacefully. But God's Word promises a long life with peace. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck.
Stop.
write them on the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Okay? So favor with God and favor also with man. This is real important. Okay? This adds to the peace that we have in life. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, some of you are jumping the gun now. Wait till I say paths, okay? Then you may all say stop in unison, okay? God will direct how many of our paths? Every circumstance, your family life, your parenting, your how to be a good husband or a wife, how to raise your children, how to run your business, how to be a good neighbor, how to fulfill your ministry in the body of Christ. All of your paths are directed by the Lord. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. All right? Good health and strength, and we said moisture and refreshment to the whole body. And so this is physical well-being. Verse 8. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. There's material or financial prosperity. So physical prosperity, relation and social prosperity, now material prosperity. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Yes, good. That's a benefit. That's a blessing from God. To go our own way uncorrected is not good. Even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth understanding. So happiness, a sense of emotional well-being, is part of the benefits of knowing and staying in the Word of God. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Somebody say stop. Stop. Thank you. The profit that comes from these things is better than any kind of material profit, even though that is part of the blessings of God. She is more precious than rubies. Yes. And all the things that thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand. There it is again. And in her left hand, riches and honor. There that is again. And so long life and a prosperous life, a blessed life, terms of our prosperity. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. All her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Okay? The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from their eyes, from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. There it is again. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. And so here's safety and protection and freedom from... I don't know about you, but the fear of failure is something that has haunted me, I guess, all of my life. And even now, still tries to attach itself to me. And I think that's something that many of us, we want to please others, and we don't want to fail. We want to succeed in what we do. And there is a promise here that we can be free from this continual failure and free from the fear of it. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. No fear at night. Now, what's the best solution for a child that can't sleep at night?
The Word of God.
The Word of God, and turn off his cartoons.
Amen.
All right? Turn off the monsters. You go down the grocery store and watch the world's kids. and how they play. Ooh, I'm going to get you. And they just get this horrible look, and they curl their fingers all up like this, you know. And you go into a restaurant, and you see a family there with their little children, and they got a little boy or even a little girl sitting there. And you walk over, and you say, oh, hi, what's your name? Ooh, I'm going to get you. He responds. Time after time that happens. I just want to butt him one. What I really ought to do, though, is whack his mom or his dad, because not his fault. You go down to the toy store and try to buy the kid some toys. It's pretty hard to buy them. They're all black, and they all have just ugly, I mean, to look at. And the games the kids play with each other, it's just incredible. And so you have to give them the word, but you also have to remove this other junk. You take these monster things away from them, take these toys away from them, and take these cartoons and movies and stuff away from them. It's just incredibly harmful. But the Word of God is a tremendous, tremendously powerful tool in ensuring your children peaceful sleep.
We sang that in Ivy a couple of years ago. We had a bad experience with her waking up in the middle of the night and saying that a man was going to get her and everything. And me and Dale sat down and watched the cartoons, and all of them was racing something and running after stuff. And we cut it out, and we wouldn't let her watch anymore after that. And we got praise tapes. And now, every night before she goes to bed, she wants to listen to those praise tapes.
Yeah.
And she has a beautiful sleep.
Sure, sure. The influences on the kids today are almost exclusively negative and satanic and demonically inspired. And we go out and pay big money, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 bucks and more for the kind of instruments that destroy our children's sense of peace and well-being. Now, I tell you, if I was a parent of a small child, I wouldn't hesitate to take gifts that came to them from well-meaning relatives and put them in a fire somewhere. Because you don't, you know, okay, I don't want to offend his grandmother, but you don't mind your child being terrorized all through the night? Come on. Come on. It's time that we began to speak, you know, clearly to folks who are well-meaning. And if your parents really love you, and if your aunts and uncles really care, then they will respond to the way you feel. But you got to open your mouth and tell them how you feel and why you feel that way. And be real careful this Christmas season, because the influences are very strongly negative and demonic. And what it does is it prepares the children for more serious activity of a demonic nature later on in life. I see a couple of hands, but I've long-winded today, and I've gone on beyond where I can go, and we need to close today. So we'll see how the Lord leads us next Sunday morning on that. Okay. Lots of promises in there, aren't there?
Amen.
All right, let's have a closing prayer then.